I'm excited to preach this morning, so let's get our Bibles out. We are going to be looking into the book of Hebrews. Now, if you didn't bring your Bible this morning or you're brand new this morning, underneath the chairs in front of you, there's a pew Bible, and you're going to turn to page 847 in your pew Bible, in your own personal Bible. I honestly personally don't know. I can't prophetically speak into that. But grab that Bible. Do one of two things. Sometimes your Bible has ribbons like that. Just stick it right in Hebrews chapter 4. Or if you're brand new this morning, you don't know about this, we have a church bookmark over there at the Welcome Center. They're free of charge. Just jam it right in there. So when you leave today and you go about your day and your week, then you can just refer back to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. Oh, I'm going to do my devotions this week in Hebrews 4. I'm just going to reread what we were talking about on Sunday. And the Lord will continue to speak and to minister to you all week. So we're excited to do that together. So in Hebrews chapter 4, there's a couple verses here I want to share with you, and we'd probably recognize them. They might even be on bookmarks or in other places. Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13 says this. For the word of God is living and it's active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, where this lands in Scripture, I think so often when we're reading, we sometimes get surprised if we were to read after or if we were to read before. We're in verse 12. If we were to read the first 11 verses, I think we might be super surprised about what it's saying before it says that. Because sometimes we use this verse about like, hey, when the word of God goes out, when non-believers hear it, it will penetrate into their hearts and it will open up them into, you know, the thoughts and the ideas and the principles about the word of God. But it's more than that. And so we're going to look at that together. I want to share a quick story that somebody shared with me just last week. Somebody was out like with some heavy-duty machinery, like jackhammering or something, and all of a sudden, boom, their leg, and I want to be PG rated, I apologize, but it started squirting blood. Because some kind of metal sharp piece had just gone flying, or we don't know what had happened, and just their blood, oh my gosh, pressure on the leg. They go to the hospital, x-ray scans. They really couldn't find it for quite a while. I said, I don't know what's where or what happened. But then finally they're able to find this, the smallest piece of metal that had just gone, it just cut the artery in the right spot and had caused this whole scene. This is the word of God. It will cut into areas of your life that maybe you aren't even aware of. And when it does that, we don't get all bloody messy. Hopefully, you know, it's going to be an enjoyable experience. But, you know, it will find areas of our heart that's hidden. I know that even, you know, I'm almost 50 now. There are areas of my life that I feel like all of a sudden I go through something or have an experience or a memory or something triggers a thought. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even really remember that. Whether it was buried deep or I didn't want to think about it anymore, all of a sudden it's exposed. You know, midlife crisis are sometimes around these ideas where all of a sudden like real things happen in our lives that we start remembering and we have to face those. And so when we read the word of God, it will reveal things to us. So as we read it, be in anticipation that something wonderful will happen. God's just going to slowly, and he's so gentle. He's like, he's a nice surgeon. He doesn't just go in there with like a chainsaw, just rip you up. Like, he's just like, we're just going to work. We're going to be gentle as we go here because we don't want squirting blood. That's not going to be a good thing. I apologize. I got to move on from that idea. Sorry. Let's keep going. Okay, so let's read and have some fun here. So the first 11 verses. So I just want to read the whole thing, and then we'll look at it together. A couple of things are going to jump out here for. You're going to see the word therefore three times. Therefore, it's kind of like the but. It's kind of like this wrapping up kind of thought process. So in verse 1, it says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest. Just as God had said, so I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he was spoken about on the seventh day in these words, And on the seventh day, God rested from all of his work. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again in a certain day calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for God's people. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. What did you hear in there? Wow. Isn't that just an eye-opener? Therefore, as you heard his word, don't harden your hearts and be disobedient. Find rest. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. And if you can't find rest, look to the word of God. It will help navigate and dig out things that are distracting you so that you can find rest in him. Praise God. That is so good. I just want to wrap up on that thought. Just be like, wow, yes, Lord. Because you think about when this was written, were they ever able to find complete rest? Is that actually a target for you and I? Is that a goal that we have? You know what? I'm just going to make sure that I have complete rest on all sides, so I will cut things out of my life because this is bad for me. You know what? This situation's horrible. These people are actually horrible. I'm going to cut them out of my life so that when I wake up, the only thing, you know, dinner, breakfast, the coffee maker's on. Oh, yeah. You know, skip the dishes has knocked on your door. The breakfast is delivered. You know, you get out of bed, you've got your little slippers and your little whatever, and you know, all of a sudden you got this thing that brushes your teeth. I don't know, man, you got a bidet or whatever. Like, you are so restful that nothing, you don't even have a phone anymore. Oh, I can't take a phone call because that won't bring me any rest, you know. Like, you've carved your life out into a way where you think that if anything comes at me, it will take my joy and my peace and my rest away. Can I challenge you with that thought just for a second? How much power are you giving those kinds of things in your life? So that when the phone rang one day, you're all of a sudden, you're completely out of sorts. You've given way too much authority to that than to, I can find rest and peace and joy when I spend time with my Heavenly Father, no matter what is going on in my life. That's what the Word of God is saying. Don't be disobedient. Don't harden your hearts. Find rest, even in the midst of difficult times. Like, I can imagine cutting things out of your life. Like, I just won't pay bills anymore. That's not restful. Can I challenge you with that thought for a second? Somebody will be knocking at your door one day. Be like, you owe me some money. We're going to have to figure that out together. But we have to be able to stop worrying about that phone call or worrying about what tomorrow will look like, because that's actually disobedience to God's word. Don't worry about tomorrow. You can't add a single hour to tomorrow. Worry and think about today. Not worry about today, but think about today. Don't be worried about today. God has. You're in church. Come on. This is going to be awesome, right? Yesterday, we had this Alpha retreat weekend. So Saturday, we got up, you know, early. Saturday, it's my Sabbath day. Like, Lord, I'm not going to Alpha. That's my Sabbath. I won't find any rest. No, I'm joking. But we went to Alpha. It was great. Had a wonderful time together. Watched some videos on the Holy Spirit. We just prayed for each other. Asked the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. But I was so thankful that day because I woke up and I was like, I'm just a table leader. I'm just going to go and we're going to discuss. I'm going to pray for one another. You know, John is one of our staff. And John Bruce, he does a great job hosting and leading. I don't need to be a part of that. We go a little bit further. You know, Pastor Ben was leading worship at the event. It was so, you know, just that gift that you have. You just that guitar, like just one verse causes us to get tearful, doesn't it, John? It's so good, man. Omly and the kitchen team. Let's make sure we got everybody. If I forgot somebody, I do apologize. Omly, Floor, Betty, Marlene, Nashira, Angela, Lisa, Blanche, Brenda, Liliana, and I apologize if I forgot one more. Did I forget? No. Anybody else? I'm sure somebody else I forgot. Moses. Moses wasn't there. He wasn't 100%. So the other days Moses helps. I do agree with you. He's my son. Well, he's awesome. Yeah, we like him. After the event's over, like people stay behind. They set up the chairs and tables, take them all down, set up for coffee connection today. So the tables are all set up. And it's just me. I apologize. I don't mean to do this, but I'm helping. And then I just, the vacuum, I'm like, there's a couple spots here. I'm just. And Gord comes in, and it wasn't like a negative, but Gord just says, what are you doing? What do you mean? Oh, that's right. Gord comes after to clean up. Where's Reggie in the house? Reggie comes even later. Where did you go, Reggie? Oh, you're out there in the foyer. Yeah, Reggie even comes early on or late at night Saturday or early Sunday. So the whole place is spotless. And what am I doing? Like, I'm not hosting the event. I really don't ever let me lead worship. I don't need to be in the kitchen. I don't need to be doing this. I don't mind vacuuming. I don't mind serving, but I don't need to do that. I don't have to worry about that because I have great people around me. Let God be God, and you be you. God just got to work that out of me. And it's not intentional. I don't mean to do that kind of stuff. Like I come around, I straighten up all the chairs and the Bibles and just all these kind of things. And God is sometimes challenging me, what are you doing? And so I felt like God was speaking through Gord, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. You know, just like I should be doing something else, actually. I should be praying for this morning. I should be getting ready for today. Like, that's what God's called me to do. Don't wear somebody else's shoes. Don't do somebody else's job, because it actually takes the peace and the joy away from you. You're trying to do something that you're not supposed to do. You're not even maybe gifted at. And you make room for other people. That's being obedient to God's word, as we find rest in what God's called us to do. I know that's a bit of a rabbit trail there for a second, but it's so important. Let's look at some of these verses here together. Verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also had the gospel preached to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it didn't combine it, faith. Wow, that's an interesting thought, eh? So the people that he's referring to in the Old Testament, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, out of slavery and bondage, and went across in the Red Sea, and they were just wandering around in the desert, they heard the word of God. They heard Moses preaching the word of God, speaking to them, but they didn't listen. They didn't obey, and they didn't combine it with the ingredient with faith. Because God was saying, okay, I've got you out of that because I have a promise for you. Now, the promise can be, it looks different for each one of us, right? Okay, it was the promised land. I understand that. You know, lots of food, milk, and honey. There was a place for them to go to help them find rest and peace. But they, in their disobedience, said, we'll just be happy here in the desert. But they weren't even happy in the desert, were they? They didn't say, this place is so peaceful in this dry, barren wasteland. Woohoo! All these bones were, you know, it's melting hot out here. And we can't even find any quail, for crying out loud. The Lord will bring some later on. But in that moment, it's not like they were restful and peaceful in the wilderness. And they were like, we don't want to make the effort to go across there. That's too hard. No, they were disobedient. And they didn't even find peace and rest. And God said, if you would just go over here, would you just come this way? And there's a promise for you. If you follow me, even though it might look difficult, anything that I feel like it's going to be a blessing, it's going to be maybe a difficult road to get there. If it looks easy, I'm going to question you on that one. Because it's not that God is hard or anything, but it should take an effort for us to get there. Can I be honest with you? When I run, please don't judge me when I run, because I actually used to have when I grew up. And I don't know, because you know when you think about your life, you're like, I was so young, I don't remember. If it was like my left foot was like a club foot, like went the other way. It was like my right foot went the other way. So they put this, it was wooden back then. They didn't have any fancy, you know, stuff. So they had to force my one leg to go straight. For years, I had to wear this brace so that it would, you know, I could go in the right direction. Our lives are sometimes like this, where we're like, I know I'm supposed to follow God, and God's calling me this way. And half of us is like, oh yeah, I'm all in, sign me up. And part of us is like, eh. And so you're kind of like trying to, you're just like kind of fumbling along, trying to go the right way. Let's not like force God to you know, why don't we be just obedient to when we hear it? Just say, yes, God. Yes, Lord. It looks like there's going to be difficult times. It looks like there are giants where you're calling me to go. It looks like I don't have the skills or the ability to do what you're calling me to do, but 50% of me is into this, you know. We're going to cut the other 50% out. But just allow the word of God. So when you feel fear and you're worried, just allow the word of God to just, yeah, but the word of God says. Therefore, the word of God says. Whatever we're facing, let him redirect your life as we go through life together. Let's unpack just a few more of these verses, verses 3-5. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God had said. So I declared on an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Those people that were disobedient, you know, they had passed away in the desert. They never saw that promise. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. And on the seventh day, God rested from all his work. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. When it points to, when we read this, what it's referring to is this idea that the world to come, really like the final stage of creation, or, you know, when we're in heaven, is that there will be this place of absolute rest, where that there will not be any phone calls or distractions or bills to pay. You will just find rest, this unspeakable joy that you can't put into words. When we hear about people that have passed away and gone into heaven, they're like, I have a beautiful wife and family and all the toys I could want. God, I don't want to go back to that. I just want to stay with my God. I just want to be in relationship with Jesus, because there's so much rest and peace in that place. And so why would we want to come back to a place on earth where it's hard to find sometimes? So again, what is our target? Is our target to find complete peace and rest all the time? Is that attainable? Because if it's not attainable, then what you're trying to obtain to, you'll never get to. You always feel disappointed. You always feel let down. You feel like, oh, I have so much peace today, God. And then tomorrow could bring something. You'll be like, well, God, yeah. Because your expectation is in the wrong place. What happens is, and what it's talking about here, is that when difficulty comes, you can still find peace and rest in that. And that's what separates Christianity and those that follow his ways and those that practice his ways compared to those that don't have any hope and don't have any peace. They should be able to look at a Christian and go, wow, you're finding peace in the midst of that? Dude, that sounds crazy. I can't believe you're going through that. And you're like, I know, it's burdening me, but like, I still sleep good at night. I still have rest at night because I believe that God is in control and he's still on the throne and I'm in a destination. Eternity is my, you know, I'm heading there. And so can we find rest in that? Let me use a really extreme example. Just because it happened yesterday when we were watching our videos. This individual was a missionary. She was a young lady. She felt called to go to Hong Kong, where there was like streets of Hastings, you know, kind of this Las Vegas experience where there's just no police presence. They were like, this is just this walled city of like nobody goes in there. You know, prostitution, drug addictions, heroin, everything was just flowing like milk and honey there in the wrong sense. So she felt called to go in there. She went in there, and I apologize, I have it wrong because I haven't read it recently. Whether it was months or years, there was no change. She was like, I'm just pouring my life out 24/7 of these people, and I have never seen anyone healed or saved or anything. And at some point, she went, or somebody prayed for her. All of a sudden, she received a filling of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's miraculous power. And she would sit with a heroin addict and say, let's get you free of that. They got free of it. But do you know when coming off something so brutal and traumatic and addictive, the process or the journey that you go through, the withdrawal symptoms is usually, you know, you better be in a hospital. You better have some support systems around you. She said she would watch them go through that with complete rest, with complete peace, no shaking, no sweating. Like they came off of the most addictive drug at the time with peace in their heart. How is that possible? Right here. It divides those things. It divides the emotion in you. It takes away those things because I can find it here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If somebody can get off of heroin and have rest and peace, I don't know what you're facing right now. If that is you, we should probably meet and we'll help you with that. But like in comparison to that, we can still find rest and hope and peace throughout all of that time. Let me just, continue to read here. We'll unpack a couple more verses. So 6 and 7. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke to David, and as he said, today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your hearts. At this point, so we're not talking about Israelites, we're not talking about Old Testament, we're not talking about God's people at that point, about when this was written, you know, the people, Judea, Christians, Jews at that point, who were following Jesus, were under Roman oppression. They were under the Roman authority. This was not like heaven and peace and like, oh, yay, you know, being Christian is totally safe and nothing bad's gonna happen to us. Like, there are some difficult times in there. And that actually they had never found rest to this point. It always, at times, God would say, go in and take the land and make sure that you kind of remove certain regions or certain people. But they never really followed through with all that. So there was always pressure on them. There was always somebody in authority or pressing on them. So they never really found complete rest. And so when it's written, we have to understand that. So is there hope this side of heaven to find some rest in the midst of that? If I could share Omi and I's story a little bit, because I'm like, I don't know if I've had like too many of those experiences, but the small one that we have, and many of you have asked, like, how did you go from retail to become a pastor? Like, that's a tough pivot. That seems a little bit out to lunch. But Omley and I had moved to Whitehorse. We'd been there for 2 years, and they were about to transfer us away from Whitehorse, because that's what they do when you're in management in retail. They kind of just bounce you around so you can learn lots of things, so you could become a better manager. So they wanted to move us away from Whitehorse, and Omley and I just felt like, I think this is our home. Like, we love this church. We love Whitehorse. We love the people. We had a Bible study in our house. We were helping out with a camp. I think I might have been on the board at the time. And we just kind of, let me just say this. I wrestled with the idea of quitting Walmart. I was processing it so much. Almi is very supportive, but I'm like, I'm not sure, hon. Like, is this the Lord or is it not the Lord? You know, you're trying to figure that out because, you know, you'd worked really hard in any profession that you have. Like, to just walk away from that is not easy. Like, that was my ticket out of Whitehorse as well. If I quit, you know, Walmart's not moving me again. I'm stuck in Whitehorse. I'm like, I need to know that I know that I'm, Lord, where's the email? I'm waiting for the text, you know, for the Lord to speak to us. And we just felt like it was the right thing to do. So 2 weeks out, you know, I'm like counting the days when I'm going to not have a paycheck. Right up to I don't have a paycheck. Day one, day two, I just was like, I just sensed in my spirit God had something in mind for us. And so I didn't even apply for jobs. This roundabout circumstance that we don't have time to talk about, all of a sudden another door opened up for me. So we had, you know, a few days or weeks without a paycheck, and all of a sudden somebody sat me down in a coffee. They said, I'll give you this job with the same amount of hours, with the same amount of pay you had at Walmart, and you don't have to work on Sundays. Because I was only able to go to church like every other Sunday because I was in retail. I couldn't get out of the job. And I was like, just that alone, just knowing that I was well cared for our family, that I had the same amount of holidays, that I had every Sunday off that I couldn't have before. That alone was like, God is in the business of taking care of us. Why am I so worried about that? God has my family, brought my family together for a reason. God will take care of my family. I have to trust him. So again, that's a bit of a small one, but there's my personal story for you. Let's go to verses 8 to 11. Then we'll just kind of wrap it up here as we get to verses 12 and 13. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. So we see again here, you know, they were disobedient for a time, and so we're wanting to be obedient. When we see this example written here for you and I, and this relationship that people have with God, that some were obedient and that with faith they were able to walk it out, even though it was difficult, it's like a foretaste or maybe like a foreshadow of what heaven could look like. And so is that our goal? Is that our target? That's our example. Is that no matter what I face, God, I can turn to you and I will find rest and peace. I will never be completely at peace and rest until I'm with you 100%. And until then, I'm going to face difficult times because I know that in the future, when I'm with you in your kingdom in eternity, I will have it. But I want to just pause there on that thought. It's like, okay, I agree with some of that idea. And I agree that we will still have hardships. But can I find something that I had never found before? See, when I didn't know Jesus for the first 23 years of my life, there were moments when I was, you know, honestly on the sand in Hawaii, you know, oh my gosh, like there are just places. When I was in Greece, like cliff diving, then snorkeling with the fish, you know, there are moments where I felt, you know, a little bit of joy and a little bit of peace. But then when I came into a relationship with Jesus, I could find it anywhere. I could find it in the hospital. I could find it in my bedroom. I could find it mowing the grass. I could find it sitting with my, you know, the peace of God and the rest of God can just come at any point. And so I want to just quote a book here. It's called Eternity is Now in Session. And I got to look down here for a moment. I apologize. I just really want to get this right. It says this. Most of us think that eternity as something that begins after death. If we stop thinking about Christians as people who profess beliefs about God and instead focus on becoming disciples who know God, I know God in here. And if salvation isn't mostly about getting myself into heaven, like a get out of jail free card, but about getting heaven into me. Because we can all agree that in heaven, we'll find complete rest. But we must be able to find some peace and rest before that day comes. That's the difference. This is what the word of God has to offer us. And so when we come to verses 12 and 13, it says, for the word of God is living. Oh, yeah. It's alive. This is the only book that's alive. Every time you open it, it's alive. Tune into it. Find rest and peace in it. Because it's active. Sharper than any double-edged sword and penetrates deep into my soul and my spirit. It will divide joints and marrow. It will find those things that need to be dealt with. Thoughts and attitudes of my heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him who we must give account. And so the purpose of this, though, is not to point and to analyze the human nature, like, you know, our characteristics. It's not what it's pointing at, but it searches the heart to find the things that we're disobedient to him in. And he wants to remove those things that we could have more trust in him. Why wouldn't we have complete trust in him? Again, when we don't have trust in the situation, we say, God, this seems out of control, and this situation's caused me so much grief. You're putting too much value in that situation, and then it's disobedience to what God has and what he says about you and for you, and he's with you all the time. We just have to turn to him. Being obedient to him is what we want to be as we hear the word, as it ministers to our soul. I don't know what you heard this morning. You know, maybe in the worship time, there was a certain song that just, man, those words ministered to me. Maybe it was almost reading scripture, like, I was reading that verse earlier this week, and now it's ministering to me again. Maybe something I've said to you just in the scriptures we read today. Maybe just in my own personal story, you said, I can relate to that story. But whatever is speaking to you this morning, be obedient to listen to it so that we can grow and mature together. So my challenge to us is going to be every week this is what it will look like, right? Hebrews 4 was our main theme this week. I want to encourage you again. Put that ribbon in there. Get that bookmark in there. Bring your Bible every Sunday. And even if you just come on Sunday and you just kind of mark it, and you say, I'll go back to that later because I don't want to get distracted. Just put it there. And then when you do your devotions this week, give God five. Just give him 5 minutes. Just read chapter 4 every day this week. See what happens. That's our challenge to us. Be obedient to his word. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I just don't even want to put your word down, actually. Man, I cherish it. Lord, sometimes it's difficult to read and reminds me of my shortcomings and my failures and my disobedience to you at times, Lord. But Lord, I'm just so grateful that I also read in there that you are for me, that you have a plan for me, that you are desperately in love with me, like I'm your son. It says in Scripture, as you care for Jesus, you care for us in the same way. So thank you, God, for that. Thank you that I am not a failure and a worthless piece of garbage and you want to disown me or abandon me. You want to adopt me. You want to pour into me. You want to speak to me. You want to help me in my time of need so that I can find rest and peace that's only found in you. So thank you for doing what only you can do, Lord. God, we bless you, we honor you, we trust you, and we worship you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.